Hi, it's Michelle. Thank you for joining me for this segment of Daily Bread with Jam, a Holy Spirit You channel podcast. As always, we are Whosoever Will channel, a Whosoever Will podcast. You are clearly welcome here. We ask all of our listeners just to, you know, honor and respect one another. We are here for the purpose of edifying and building up one another. None of us knows everything. We don't even know a fraction of what we think we know. But the goal is to take the experiences and the knowledge and information that we do have and share it with one another in an effort to make sure that you can potentially glean something that will help you in your journey and in your walk. So all of that being said, today we're going to talk about His way being higher, His way being higher. Isaiah 55:9 is the specific scripture reference, but I'm going to talk about just a couple of other scriptures in that same chapter along the way. That being said, let me hop right into it. So I'm going to start at Isaiah 55:9. We are still, and will be as far as I know, in the major overarching series of springboarding. I get tongue-tied there, not because I'm tongue-tied, but because sometimes it comes up as pivot, sometimes it comes out as springboard, and I'm trying to hear what I'm supposed to say at the moment. So generally what I say is both of them, just to cover the bases. So springboarding out of cursing into blessing. We've been in a very long season of taking the things of God for granted, even God himself, of dismissing him out of our lives, of acting as if we are believers when in fact we don't bear the fruit of believers. If you want to know what the fruit is, go read Galatians 5:22-23. If you want to know what the fruit is, go read 1 Corinthians 13. And so we like to say these things about ourselves and attempt to position ourselves in a way where we can get the advantages of being associated and affiliated and blessed in and through Christ. But we don't like to do the work that's necessary. So this series on pivoting out of cursing into blessing is about breaking those cycles in us first, because many of us tend to think that our job is to break the cycle in somebody else without having done our own repenting. It doesn't work that way. That is not a spiritual principle. Well, it might be a spiritual principle, but it's not one that God will honor. And given the fact that he has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness, he's given us those things that our hearts and souls desire, he has made a way for. That, I mean, that's the fact. Everything that we say we want, if it's aligned with love and peace and joy and wholeness and restoration and healing and peace and unity, he's already provided. But we have to choose it. And even in choosing it, there is a process, there is a walk that we have to take with God in the name of Jesus by the power of Holy Spirit. He has provided everything we need, including his own life, his own self, his own spirit. But we have to choose that. So another of the most quoted or memorized scriptures is, and there are several, Isaiah 55 is rich with scriptures that we tend to quote or say out of context a lot. He's not interested in the quoting of the scripture. He's not interested in us memorizing the scripture. Now, reading the scripture and retaining that knowledge is seed, is considered spiritual seed. It is what the water, you know, God the Father will bring forth by the water of the word, by the washing of the water of the word, by the Holy Spirit watering that seed in us. As Jesus said when the disciples asked him, you know, tell us what these things mean. And he says, if you don't understand this principle, you will never understand anything I say to you. And he said, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. That's a New Testament scripture. You can go look that up. But so we have to have the word of God in us, but the way that we have typically done that has had nothing to do with spirit and more to do with flesh. We're trying to show what we know. We're trying to prove that we're righteous. We're trying to make other people feel bad or scare them into hell in the process. And when in fact, that's not what Jesus did to us. That's not how he won us. It said, the word of God also says it is his goodness that brings us to repentance. It's the fact that he knows and we know that we don't deserve the love he gives us, meaning we're not, he hasn't done for us something because we were worthy of it. We betrayed him in every possible way. So for us to think, that's ego talking, for us to think when we do that, for us to think that Jesus owes us anything is like the worst possible perspective, because he didn't have to give us anything. He chose to. Just like he gives us the opportunity, he chose us, he gives us the opportunity to choose him. Spiritual principles are key, because he says the sower sows the word. If you don't understand the spiritual principles, if you don't understand the spiritual process by which my word is brought to life in and through you, then you're never going to understand anything. So, you know, I've referenced this in Isaiah 55. You have several scriptures that you've either heard before this podcast, or you may have said or memorized yourself. One in particular is Isaiah 55, verse 6. Again, I'm reading singular scriptures, but it's always important, and this is between you and the Lord, whether you do it or not, because he knows everything. Don't ever think you're hiding from the Lord. I learned that one too. Even David said, if I go into heaven, you're there. If I descend into hell, you're there. Where can I flee from your presence? You can't. That's in Psalms. I don't know why today we're still acting like maybe we don't think that exists anymore. The Bible was written to us, all of the us's that could ever be us, humanity. So it doesn't go away just because we choose to not believe it or act like it doesn't exist. Where can I flee from your presence? Rhetorical question. The answer is we can't. So Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. What does that mean? It means don't take it for granted that you're going to be here forever. This isn't so much about the Lord as it is us. Now, can he be present and hidden at the same time? Yes. He can be present. He is present, but he can also hide himself. His presence is not always manifested, even though his presence exists in all circumstances and situations. Going down now, I'm not going to read all of Isaiah 55, but if you go to what I want to key on today, is Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. I'm not sure where we got the idea that ours were. We have to go through a process of transformation. When we get to a place that we are thinking like God, that means that we are bearing fruit. When we are behaving, because the thought, what we believe, then illuminates the soul. The soul is the toll booth, if you will, or the director of traffic that aligns or helps to dictate our behavior and our speech. So apart from Holy Spirit, we're going to act like we act now. There has to be a transformation. Taking this walk of life is about the transformation. So he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, there's a couple of different ways of looking at this, none of which change the context of what is being said. That's one of the keys that you have to look for. If someone is saying the word to you, the word of God, like reading out of the Bible or preaching it to you or doing something with the word that feels manipulative, then it is manipulation. If they don't have the actions or the speech or the thought process or the treatment of others that lines up with unconditional love and peace and unity and grace and patience and self-control, then they are not operating in the Spirit of God. It doesn't matter how much of the Bible they know. The Bible was written to everyone, but not everyone has received Christ or has accepted the invitation that he provided to us. So when he says this, he's telling us, he's saying, okay, Understand, I'm not trying, he's not trying to get us to understand anything except that he has provided for us those things that our hearts and souls, heart, spirit, when I say heart in that context, that our hearts and souls most desire. We are challenged because our egos and our intellects and all of those things get in. There's an incongruence between our spirit, soul, and body. The transformation brings those together in unity, and although at some point when we transition out of here, the body will fall off, the spirit and soul will remain intact. That's why the transformation is so significant. That's why it is critical to any kind of concept, in at least in what we call the Christian faith, of heaven. If we don't get this right, what makes, or at least, and it, let me rephrase, because that's not the terminology I want to use. If we can't walk with him down here, what makes us think he's going to let us walk with him in heaven? If we can't get it together down here, refer to the flaming swords that he placed at Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden represents heaven on earth. It represents heaven, but also heaven on earth, meaning you have to be able to, that means you can't, we cannot get in without approval, without being able to pass through that. And it is a spiritual concept, but it is also a concept that we have to understand in terms of his ways being higher than our ways. It's meant to show us something. It may not be actual flaming swords. Don't get hung up there, please. We like to get hung up on, we like to wrangle about with words. I think it was Timothy. Do not wrangle about with words. It doesn't prove anything. It doesn't mean anything. At the end of the day, the Lord is looking for fruit. He doesn't care how much you know, how much exegesis we've done. He's looking for fruit. Knowledge puffeth up. Love builds up. He's looking for the building, not the puffing. Is it good to know things? Yes. But if those things didn't become a stumbling block to us or to others, then it's problematic because that defeats the purpose. Studying to show ourselves approved does not mean that we have to go back and compare the original texts of everything that we think was ever written about the Bible. It means that we understand in the here and now what the Lord is saying and what he has been saying for generations of humanity, which is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The things that you are truly seeking and think that you have, you really don't have because you didn't understand when I first said my way is higher than your way. You didn't understand when I first said I'm doing this for you. You didn't understand when I first said you can't do anything apart from me. You didn't understand the first time I said you have not because you ask not. But then you started asking, but guess what? I don't honor that prayer either, because when you ask apart from my spirit, you're asking out of the wrong motivation and you're asking for the wrong things. God is intentional and he is strategic. He knows everything from beginning to end and the beginning and everything in between. He's already told us that there's nothing new under the sun, but we're still trying to game the system, so to speak. He's already told us everybody's not going to come. He's already said everybody's not going to choose me. Even though I've done everything, I've given them everything that I could give them, up to and including myself, I will honor their choices. And then we want to make it about God being a bad God. First of all, God can't be bad. God is good. He can't be dark. God is light. He can't be fear or hatred. God is love. He's looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit-bearing trees, good fruit-bearing trees, because we're all bearing some sort of fruit. The question is it his fruit? And if you want to know the answer, I will send you right back to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and then I'll send you over to 1 Corinthians 13. And then I'll send you to the verse where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So he tells us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Yet we exalt ourselves consistently. We engage in the utmost forms of idolatry by making other people, places, and things in our minds and in our lives, putting them in the place that is reserved or should be reserved for God. We've all done it. Some of us realize it and then repent of it. Some of us realize it and don't care. Some of us don't realize it. But I actually ask the Lord all the time, why do you use these words like idolatry and adultery all the time when you're talking about us human beings? So when you think about it, deity versus humanity. What are you talking about? Oh, he told me. Oh, he showed me. Maybe that'll be another time. But we do it consistently. It is part of how we live and what we call life. And he's saying, nope, not life at all. Because if it is life, then it has to be able to give life to other people, right? The Spirit of God is life to us. God formed Adam, then breathed, and he became a living soul from the breath of God. And that is the same breath that transfers down through spiritual and natural genealogy. The breath of God. So even the very breath we use to deny him came from him. It's a lot when you think about it. And it gets heavy. It's weighty. And it's supposed to be. He says his yoke is easy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's still a yoke and a burden. It still has to be handled in the manner that he ordained. Not in the manner that we think is the flavor of the moment. It doesn't work like that. And so even in doing, you know, sharing what I have to share, what I'm responsible for sharing by the Spirit of God with you, it's not to convince you. It's to say, you have a choice to make. It's to challenge. Maybe even frustrate a little bit. The Lord frustrates me all the time. Like, what are we doing? Right? And then you have the part where you're going through your growth process, and he's telling you one thing, as you know, from your perspective, he's telling you prophetically, but from a personal perspective, I can't see a thing. Nothing looks like what he's saying sometimes. And then you reach that point, if you just keep walking, he'll say, keep walking. Just keep walking. You're going to have to trust me. Just keep walking. And at a place where you would never expect, you start to see it. How do I know? Been there many times. I'm actually in the process of that right now. Of things for me being aspirational because he said something to me prophetically, but there's nothing in my current environment. It doesn't mean my current environment is bad. There's nothing in my current environment that speaks to or gives me any inkling that what he said is true. I have to. If it's not by faith, I mean, if it's by faith, it has to be by love. I have to obey. Why? What else is there? If the love I seek, truly, I'm not just talking about disposable relationships. I'm not just talking about relationships with other human beings, which I treasure as well. I'm talking about the ultimate agape form of love. It has to be by faith. So just understand, a lot of our walk is going to be aspirational because the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of prophecy. So Holy Spirit is living through us to establish and manifest what is already done in the Spirit according to the kingdom of God. That is only if we are willing to cooperate. That we be co-laborers, collaborators, co-laborers, collaborators with him. We get to choose. But his ways are higher. So that's what happened at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The lower subverted the higher. Because the man and his wife made a choice. Adam and Eve made a choice. This really isn't, it's really not, the themes are the same. Just the events and how they're accounted for are different, but the principles never change. God is not that person. He's not a man that he should lie, a human that he should lie. Now, there is a spirit of lying. And a lot of us have walked in it or are walking in it right now. And many are buying into it, either because they don't know any better or because they don't care any better. But God knows where everything is and everyone is, and he knows who's saying what, who's believing what, who's thinking what, why they're thinking it, what their motives are, what their intentions are, and all of us are going to be held accountable individually. That's why it's so important to get this, because there's not going to be anyone around for us to blame. There's not going to be anyone for us to take credit from. There's not going to be anyone around for us to bully. We're going to have to stand before God. God is the standard. Jesus Christ is the standard. That's who we measure ourselves against. In the meantime, we're supposed to be helping each other along the way. His ways are higher. That's what he desires for us, that we would come into the fullness of the knowledge of Christ. At any rate, I'll read this one more time, and then we'll close out for today. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I remind you to seek the face of the Lord, to humble yourself. Seek the Lord's face. Turn from your own wicked ways. Then pray. Then he will hear and heal your land. And understand that your land is you first. It's not just the nation, the city, the region, everybody else. The first place he will heal, because he can't bring healing through unhealed vessels. I didn't say perfect vessels. But we have to be at least in the process. We have to be a witness and a testimony to what he wants to do through us. So I challenge you to seek his face today. I agape you. Thank you for joining me. I bless you and your home, your household, those you love. I'll see you next time. Have a great day. Bye-bye.